Hello and welcome to the Access Point podcast series from IQVIA. My name is John Doyle and I lead the Enterprise Solutions team in our Real World Insights organization. In this series, we'll take an in-depth look at the latest issue of Access Point, our annual publication on current trends, insights, and advancements in real world evidence. Today, we introduce and demonstrate human data science, a revolutionary new way to bring together data science and human science to better measure and improve health decisions and population outcomes. Today, I'm pleased to be joined by Marla Kessler, Senior Vice President, Strategy, Marketing, and Communications at IQVIA. Marla recently authored an article in Access Point describing human data science and its potential in the healthcare industry. So let's get right at it. Marla, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So in this article, you introduced this new discipline of human data science. Can you give us a high-level primer on human data science and its component parts?
Sure. So we're thinking about human data science really as an organizing principle for an evolution that has been happening in healthcare. So we did your line early on around bringing human science and data science together is exactly what we were observing, is that we had clients who were constantly looking to make real progress in what we call human science rather than healthcare, but it's really about advancing patient outcomes. And where the excitement was and where you could see people wanting to tap into more than anything else was this rich sense that there's so much information out there, but they just didn't have access to it. And what they were really trying to describe was, how do I bring data science into what I'm trying to do, whether it's in clinical development, so I can better understand what the patients need, what are the right standard of care to look at, what are the outcomes that I need to prove advancements against, all the way through commercial to really figure out, well, who's using our treatments, who's prescribing our treatments, at what stage of the disease progression are they prescribing, what benefits do they get at different stages. And so what we were trying to tap into is a sense that there is so much information and value and richness in healthcare information that isn't coming to our clients and isn't coming to patients in the way that we'd like it to be. And so what we want to do is think through, how do you bring those two concepts together? And that's really the foundation of human data science.
When you think about the history here and the fact that these scientific disciplines have been running really a parallel track, what's the spark that's catalyzing convergence between these two sciences that are focused on data as well as human?
When we were merging IMS Health and Quintiles together, we talked to a lot of stakeholders. So we talked to clients, we talked to key opinion leaders, talked to policymakers, and it was just a common theme that there's been a lot of work done by a variety of companies, almost people coming in from all angles, whether they were CROs or they were data or technology companies or even pure technology companies coming outside. And everyone was trying to look to see, how do we bring analytics more into this space? And what we were trying to figure out is, what are the barriers? Like, why isn't this happening? And that helped us think through what the value was of IQVIA as a merged company. But more broadly than who we are, it was just this idea that part of the challenge has been that all the necessary components that really bring human data science to life are kept in different parts of the world and different parts of our industry. So you absolutely need to start with access to health data and human data. And it's different than other kinds of data. It's not the kind of data that just sits on the internet for people to mine. But you're talking about highly sensitive information that, even if it's not identified, you still need to protect to make sure that patient privacy is preserved, but also that we appreciate that the integrity of the information requires a real understanding of what that data is, because it's coming from all different sources. It comes from claims, comes from pharmacy, and so it's not necessarily data that's been built to support analytics, but it can be if you know how to work with it and how to curate it and how to protect it.
Let's press on that. I think that's an interesting point you're making, that big data is being applied in many other industries and domains, but there is something potentially different here in healthcare.
The data itself is completely different, but you know, to me, the data is only as useful as the domain expertise that you have. So if you're trying to use information in financial services and in retail, we're really interested to see how much information, how frequently data science is being used to change customer experience and to fuel product development and also to help improve financial performance of the different industries. So what is different about that data, though, is it's structured in a common data model. So when you have financial transactions, there's a common way of thinking about each of the variables. A lot of that information is completely tied to you as a person. So your credit reporting, your individual banking transactions, that a lot of the data that people are using are understanding that you're the person that is connected to all the different pieces. That's very different in healthcare because the information we're working with isn't identified. That's the point, is to keep it protected for the patient. And yet somehow you're trying to figure out ways of linking it together, and it's not structured in a common data model. So you have to be able to understand that the way an office visit looks in one electronic medical record or EMR system will be very different than the way it's structured in other. And you have to be able to use that kind of expertise to make the data even usable, and then to be able to figure out, well, what are the right scientific questions you're asked require a different type of domain expertise. Because you need to understand how patients are treated in oncology, for example, to answer relevant questions about a specific tumor. And the way that patients are treated for dermatology might require a completely different understanding, a different framing of the questions and the treatment paradigm. So it's really understanding that you have to have the data with the domain expertise. And to be honest with you, the advances in technology and analytics are fantastic, but they need to be brought to this data and to this domain expertise in a way that's more seamless so that the average person in healthcare can actually use this information.
Yeah, and I think this average person that you're mentioning, they seem to be more data hungry than ever before. You know that a lot of people have become quite accustomed to using data and analytics in other aspects of their life, like finance and retail, for instance. But healthcare, it's still evolving. How does this backdrop of consumer-driven healthcare play out with human data science?
So in the article, we start off by talking about Elizabeth, who's an actual patient, but in many ways representative of so many other patients. You know, and Elizabeth is facing a really tough decision. She's 20 weeks pregnant. She's in her late 30s, already high risk. Turns out one of her children is diagnosed with a congenital diaphragmatic hernia. She's never heard of it before. She is given some broad information about treatment options, but there's no data for her to be able to decide between one option versus another. She has a different twin at risk of the different decision-making. And even her own health can be at risk depending on some of the options she could choose from. And so it's this lack of information, but the fact that the most important decision is being put onto this non-expert is, to me, the very essence of where we're going with patient-centered health, is that we're giving patients a lot more control, but we're not giving the tools to make better decisions. And we're making them feel like they have to make so many more important decisions. And so I would love to be able to see how human data science can empower the Elizabeths of the world so that they have the ability to understand the trade-offs in a way that is relevant to them. Like, it leads me to the next part that I think about with human data science is, right now, if you look at the way healthcare is practiced, it's completely focused on averages. So you think about average treatment responses when people look at how effective a product is, or you think about average results when a patient and a payer and a pharmaceutical company look at innovative contracting. And oftentimes what you really want to focus on is what's right for that individual patient. And although we can't make medicine completely precise, we can make it a lot more precise than it is today by moving to deeper insights about a patient type and moving away from just average assumptions about what's happening to something that's more relevant to a specific patient.
The case you shared in the article I thought was so compelling and moving. It allows you to quickly empathize with how family and friends are all struggling to make healthcare decisions. And in your last response, you also made a point that it's not only about the individual patients using data to make more informed choices, but you also have to dial this up to the population level. Because I imagine regulators and payers and policymakers, providers are also trying to make better informed, data-driven decisions at the population level. Can you comment on that?
Yes. So I think that's absolutely right. And one of the things we talk about with the reason data science is becoming increasingly important is because it allows you to figure out what's really working. And that is at the core of often population health decisions is what works for this population, where's the investment worth making, what are the trade-offs that we're facing. And so what we see is that these decisions should be based on actual information. that there's always this tension about how much information about patients should you be using to inform decisions. But what really scares me is to think that you would treat a patient or make decisions about access to a product without having the evidence and the data that you need to be able to know that the decision you're making is informed. And so what we're hoping is that human data science enables you to have a richer understanding of the relevant population concerns. So right now, a randomized clinical trial helps you see what happens to a set of patients, a cohort, with a certain set of treatment, within a certain treatment regimen. So you control for a lot of variables. In the real population, when this product is going to be used, a lot of different things will happen, and patients will take the products in different ways, and patients who don't look like the trial patients will be taking the products. And what you want to do is you want to help inform payer decisions, but don't rely just on an RCT, which although is very important and informative, is not going to be representative of what are the right decisions that they're making for their broader population. And so we're helping move us to a world where we are making better decisions because we're having more information that's relevant to the decision makers involved.
So let's take it back to the biopharmaceutical companies who are trying to develop their products in a more patient-centric way to meet the needs of all these stakeholders that you've just outlined. And one school of thought that's borrowed from technology is around design thinking, which essentially is putting the human at the center of product and service development and really being in tune with their wants and their needs and their preferences. And you mentioned a couple of times how important it is to understand the patient perspective on terms of benefits and risks. So how do drug companies get more involved here? How do they adopt human data science to improve their product development?
So we've been getting that question a lot from clients. When we wrote the article, one of the most exciting parts of the response has been when people call you and say, okay, well, if I believe in human data science, what does that mean for me? What do I do differently within biopharma? And the one theme that seems to keep resonating is that we should look at a world where we can start to imagine more people in pharma companies being data scientists, right? Not to the point where they're actually interacting with the raw data, but that they're using data more seamlessly in their decision-making, and that it requires us as employers then to figure out, well, how do you make that information more accessible to people? How do you platform the insights and the information people need so that not only do you have it to make the decision that's appropriate for your question, but that people around you in different functions also are seeing the same world that you are? Because you often see people have different assumptions about severity of the disease or about population size or about prescription use, all within the same company because they're getting their information from different sources. And so we think human data science can actually lead to more quality decisions by, one, providing information that's relevant to the people who need it when they need it. So you also get the speed of being able to use the information to keep making the right decisions over time, but also making sure that you're aligning the decision. So as an organization, you're using data science to help you create efficiencies and to create increased effectiveness in the work that you're doing.
It seems like we'll all be better off if that's the case. And where do you see this going? So how do you expect human data science to evolve in the future?
In the world that we envision when we've been talking to people about human data science, the one desire that keeps coming through, whether you're talking to patients or physicians or pharmaceutical companies, is this need to get the information in a more seamless way at the point of decision-making. And so my long-term vision would be to have every healthcare decision be the right decision for the person making it so that you could really optimize decision-making for the factors that matter to you and whether you're thinking at the system level or the individual level. I think in the more immediate time, it's really just making sure that people have accurate and useful information to them when they're making a decision and that we start to move away from having a different understanding of facts and to be able to all understand the same facts facing us in a decision, whether it's about what treatment we should take for ourselves or which treatment we should give to our children or which treatments we should make accessible to our populations, and really understand once we have those right facts, how do we use that information to make the appropriate decisions and trade-offs?
Yeah, it's fascinating. And listening to your response, it has me thinking that this is also human data science underpinning the biopharmaceutical movement toward being more systems oriented, more focused on public health. You know, one of the challenges in public health work is how do you zoom in at the patient level and make a difference locally, as well as zoom out at the population level and make the right decisions about resource allocation, et cetera. And it seems like human data science is a means for the different stakeholders to participate in a system and improve public health, including biopharmaceutical companies. What do you think?
Yeah, so I used to work in a biopharmaceutical company, and I remember how much time I spent having to wait for the market research that came back to help me understand what was really happening in my area, and then work with other people in the organization to also figure out what was happening in the area related to them. And we were just looking at pieces of the puzzle. So, you know, I could be looking at what employers were thinking. Someone else might be looking at what physicians were thinking. And we just spent so much time trying to piece those elements together. And then we were even missing some. And so I do think that if we are able to have this kind of information in a more democratized way within companies, that we will be able to help each other see the whole system and see the whole picture. And I believe that that's what will lead to better results for us as companies, but more importantly, for healthcare and patients more broadly.
Well, thank you, Marla. This has been so exciting to hear about your perspective on human data science, as well as your vision for the future and how it potentially could shape and create a new healthcare perspective for all the different stakeholders, ranging from patients to biopharmaceutical companies. You've been listening to Marla Kessler, Senior Vice President, Strategy, Marketing, and Communications at IQVIA. And this is John Doyle from Real World Insights at IQVIA. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, John. Thank you.